Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. We have two items on the podcast this week. I hope you find them both really challenging and interesting. One of them asks the question, can we be sure of life after death and all that that entails? And the other one is the second in the series, The Folly of Atheism. Very important to consider these subjects. Happy listening. This is the second recording in a series called The Folly of Atheism. The first premise that we thought about was atheism is foolish because atheism ignores creation round about us. Second premise here is atheism is foolish because atheism ignores the conscience within us. Interestingly enough, you do have a conscience. You may react to different things in different ways, but you have an awareness of right and wrong. You have a sense of fairness. You have a conscience that actually bears witness to right or wrong, to good or bad, or to different things like that. There's a story in the Bible where there's a woman who's taken from a very embarrassing circumstance into the presence of Jesus. She's caught in the very act of adultery, and the religious leaders of her day were very, very hard-hearted men, and they were going to try and get Jesus to stone this woman. They thought they'd trap the Lord Jesus. They thought that they would kind of put him in a situation where he'd have to either be extremely harsh or extremely soft. And of course, they would put him in conflict with the Roman authorities because they didn't actually have the authority to take life at that stage. So if he pronounced death, they would say, where was his mercy? If he pronounced life, they'd say, where was justice? So they challenged him. But you know, Jesus returns the question on them and he says this, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And the Bible records that those that heard it, they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. The accusers have become accused. The judges are judged. Why? It's their conscience. They walk away. But they walk away independently, individually, because it says they walked away from the oldest to the youngest. There's only one man left. That's actually quite significant, because the only man that was left who didn't walk away was Jesus, because he was holy, sinless, pure. Do you know, the Bible says that our conscience is this little indicator, this little system that God has built into the human. And it either accuses us or excuses us. The Bible actually says God has written his law in the hearts of men. So we understand right from wrong. And you know, you can argue the case, but across humanity, across cultures, across ages, periods of time, man has always had a conscience about different things in different ways, but a pretty standard baseline of conscience in terms of life and possessions and truth and morality. Varying to some degree in certain societies, the Bible does teach you can sear or damage or make your conscience ineffective. So man is a moral creature. He has a moral appreciation. He has a conscience and a standard of conduct. And that sense of morality, you know, is actually used by the atheist at times. You know, the atheist would say something like this and think it's a very strong argument. He'd say, if God exists, why does evil exist? Well, hold on a minute. Why would you have any notion of evil, good, evil, if God didn't exist? You wouldn't have, because God is the one who tabulates, who sets out, who identifies right from wrong. Ravi Zacharias, who's a really pretty impressive guy, he wasn't always a Christian, but he deals with Christian issues a lot now. And someone made this suggestion to him. They said, there can't possibly be a God with all the evil and all the suffering in the world. Zacharias responded by saying, you say there's such a thing as evil. Are you not assuming that there's such a thing as good? Of course, the student retorted, but when you assume there's such a thing as good, are you not assuming there's a moral law on the basis of which to distinguish between good and evil? Well, the guy replied hesitantly, I suppose so. Mr. Zacharias then said to him, then there is a moral law, you must accept there's a moral lawgiver. That's who you're trying to disprove. If there's no transcendent moral lawgiver, then there's no absolute moral law. There's no moral law, there's really no good. There's no good, then really there's no evil. And Zacharias ended his reply by saying, so I'm not sure what your question is. You see, the debate about morality and evil and people getting away with evil and evil things being perpetrated takes us straight back to the fact that God is holy, but that God made man and he gave him responsibility and he gave him choice and he gave him awareness, and man sinned. And the sin in the heart of man is what has put us at odds with God. That's what made us dead to God. That's what has made it so that we don't actually respond to him, because we're dead in sin. But the truth of the gospel is we can have life through Jesus Christ. The folly of atheism. That's the second point. I hope you'll turn to God and you'll trust him, for he is worthy of your trust. Thanks for listening. I'd like to think about a question that really we should all consider at some stage. It's a very important one. It's one that is very, very wise to think about. And it's this: can we be sure that we will spend eternity in heaven? Many people say you can't be sure. Many people don't believe heaven exists. Are they right? Are they wrong? Can we trust the Bible? Is that information there for us? And is it possible to know before it's too late? Queen Victoria, Queen of the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and the Empire in those days, she wanted to be sure. After attending a service in St. Paul's Cathedral, she asked her chaplain, can one be absolutely sure in this life of eternal safety? But he didn't know any way to be certain. The Court News published the remarks, and John Townsend, an unassuming evangelist, saw them. After reading Queen Victoria's question and the answer she'd received, Townsend began to think and pray about answering her himself. Then he sent the following note to the Queen: to Her Gracious Majesty, our beloved Queen Victoria, from one of her most humble subjects, with trembling hands but heartfelt love, and because I know that we can be absolutely sure now of our eternal life in the home that Jesus went to prepare, may I ask your most gracious majesty to read the following passages of Scripture: John 3:16, Romans 10:9-10. These passages prove there is full assurance of salvation by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ for those who believe and accept his finished work. I sign myself your servant for Jesus' sake, John Townsend. Let me read to you the words of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's clearly stated God's love for everyone, the world. God's action, he gave his only begotten Son. The offer to anyone and everyone, that whosoever believes, not about him but in him, trusts him, rests upon what Jesus did, should not perish, won't go down to hell, won't be punished, but have everlasting life. The other verse is found in Romans 10:9-10. Again, let me just read that to you. I know it pretty much off by heart, but I'm just reading it myself because I don't want to misquote it to you. So let me just get the verse here. Romans 9:10 says this. Sorry, the other way around. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So again, it's saying, what do? You confess, you agree with God that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That includes the fact he died, and he died for sin, and God brought him back from the dead because he had taken the punishment in full to clear human guilt. The Bible says if you do those two things, confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, the process is in your heart you believe, which results in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That was pretty good advice John Townsend gave. John Townsend told other people about his letter to the Queen, and many prayers from many hearts went up to God. In about 2 weeks, he received a modest-looking envelope containing the following letter. Your letter of recent date I received, and in reply would state that I have carefully and prayerfully read the portions of Scripture referred to. I believe in the finished work of Christ for me, and I trust by God's grace to meet you in that home of which he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And that was signed by Victoria Guelph, which was her house to which she belonged, in the royal household. Isn't that amazing to think here was a woman of great standing, great status, and great intelligence? And she was concerned that she would be sure that she's saved. The way of salvation is the same whether for a queen or for a commoner. The Bible verses John Townsend recommended to the Queen are just as real today. These verses and many others in the Word of God show us that anyone who by faith receives Jesus Christ as Saviour has eternal life immediately. The Gospel of John was written in the Bible that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You can be sure of heaven. The question is, are you? You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.